Are we recording?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. I'm Alison Hayslip.
I'm Maud Garrett, and for the next 30-ish minutes, we're going to be sipping some booze and spitting some news.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to do it with Tom Helping Hands.
White one.
Kryeski.
His hands are helping the
so
white
helpful.
Wine.
Uh-huh. So helpful. Hi, guys.
Hi, girls. Ladies. Hi. Ladies. Sorry.
Ladies.
My therapist says words are important. They have weight. I called you girls. I had to say ladies.
I do that as therapist. Well. I apply what I learn. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a second. I've learned about this and let me immediately apply it.
Yes.
Yeah. Did that help at all?
Sure.
Good.
Yeah.
Ladies.
I actually just came straight from therapy.
Did you?
Yeah. And you know what's kind of great about it? I was like telling my therapist some things I was going through, and she was like, you are feeling all the exact right things you should be feeling. And I was like, fuck yes. Because like sometimes like you go through stuff and you're like, am I overreacting? Am I making this too serious? And my therapist was like, nope, you are straight on the money. And I was like, thank goodness.
So she's like, I can't help you. You're just feeling the feelings.
She just, sometimes getting validated.
Yeah. So you don't feel like you're overreacting or something.
Yeah.
Mine was like, you got to not be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
So Maud, hey, babe, how you going?
I've had a lot of those sessions. Yeah.
Thanks for asking, Maud.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I've had
Maud.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of those.
I know.
I want to talk about something a little bit more light than therapy sessions. The Mandalorian. I know we're like 5 weeks behind the rest of the planet, but we haven't talked about it yet. Have you watched it yet, Maud?
Yeah, yes, but I'm 2 episodes behind.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been trying to finish Diablo 3.
So at this point, you've watched 3 episodes.
I have.
Yes. Okay, great. So we can only
discuss.
We've all
seen the same ones, right? It's around
5
now.
Well, you and I have watched the 4th.
Four.
We have not watched the 5th at the time of the recording.
But I get all the memes before I watch it.
So that was the thing. I was always going to watch The Mandalorian, but honestly, seeing the amount of Baby Yoda memes that were popping up, I was like,
for me.
I gotta watch it. You're right.
I knew what's happening. It's like, okay, he's gonna do the Baby Yoda thing.
But also, I actually thought that, and sorry, spoiler alert, but these Baby Yoda memes are everywhere, so you have to know that he appears in the show.
Yes.
But I sort of thought it was going to be more of like an Easter egg. You just, there's like...
passing the marketplace, and there's a little
exactly,
Baby
something
Yoda
like that. So watching the show and finding out that Baby Yoda is like the plot point of
the MacGuffin.
Show,
yeah.
I was like, the MacGuffin? What does that mean?
MacGuffin is the thing that everyone has to find to save the day.
But in the end, it doesn't actually matter. It's just the... it's the other thing. It's like they learn a lesson. They find love. Like Indiana Jones, they always look for the object. They always lose the object, but they grow.
As people.
People and relationships.
So we just brought this all the way back to therapy again.
There's the Tesseract and there's the motherboard, if it's Marvel and DC. Yeah.
That's right. The motherboard.
Interesting.
The motherboard.
No, this is the motherboard. Yeah.
Can I tell you, though, like this is what I gathered from watching The Mandalorian. Yeah. What Star Wars... and as a whole is so good at is, well, first off, they've continually been able to have droids who can't move their faces and droids without faces who can't even speak words have personalities and character arcs.
Are you talking
and
about
feelings.
Grunk droids? Because they are my favorite
no,
droids.
No, I'm talking about C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh. Can we pull up the Gronk droid, though, so you know which one I'm championing?
I would love to see that.
Important.
But what's also amazing is the Mandalorian... the main character, the Mandalorian, he does not take his helmet off. You never see his face.
I don't have a problem.
No, that's my point. Droid.
The one
who's like a garbage
universe.
Can.
The walking garbage can.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's in the Mandalorian, too.
Yeah. Yep. He got bullied his whole life. You
baby
can just
Yoda.
Tell.
Because he's trash can.
Yeah, he's walking trash can.
But that's what I mean. That's what's so genius is our main character of this entire series. You don't see his face. You don't see any expression whatsoever. And you fucking care.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I just love the story, too. Like, spoiler alert, the pilot episode is a really cool action scene with a specific other bounty hunter that you never really see in action.
The droid?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He was, you know,
I spoiled
one of the
it.
Lamer
I loved
looking.
It.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I won't say who it was, but it was awesome.
Honestly, that duo of the Mandalorian and the bounty hunter droid,
I
was like,
that would
this
have been
is,
great.
But I was also like, this is Star Wars.
Yeah,
that was like the in the pilot episode. I was like, this is so pivotally Star Wars right here.
I mean, my favorite part about, and it's only a glimpse and it goes into it more in the Clone Wars, is there is a pack of bounty hunters going around. Yeah. And at one stage, Boba Fett, young Boba, is like introduced to that group, and that's how they all came come together. But like for me, seeing things like Bosk, who is the Tredosian.
Wait, which one's Bosk? Sorry, I'm terrible with names in TV shows.
He's the big lizard dude.
The big lizard dude.
Bosk, B-O-S-S-K. He's a Trandoshian. Trandoshian.
Oh. Not in the show. He's in
everything else.
Yeah.
So, but I kind of love that they, especially in the Clone Wars, followed these ragtag group of bounty hunters. So for me, like that was super important. Yeah. In this one, you're finding more about Mandalorians and their culture and their...
Which I really know nothing about. And I find it fascinating to learn. Because I also realized that I equated Mandalorians to bounty hunters, which is not the case at all.
Right.
A Mandalorian can be a bounty hunter, and a bounty hunter can not be a Mandalorian.
Yes.
I don't know why in my head they were the same thing.
This will blow your mind. Yeah. Mandalorians are from Mandalore.
The planet.
Yeah.
The planet of. Oh,
Taika Waititi?
That's what we're talking about. I think everyone, I don't think that's a spoiler, Tom. That's who voices.
IG-11.
That's who voices the battle droid.
IG-11. There was an IG droid in that initial bounty hunter crew too.
Yeah.
Which is why that was a nod to it.
Yeah, and this totally.
Jabba was talking to, this is when you first meet Boba Fett.
Yeah.
When Jabba's basically going like, bring me Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back. And that's why the carbonite happens.
Yeah.
No, Jen worked with the director of that pilot episode, Dave Filoni, who's like the head of like all Star Wars. Now,
he's
for
so
Lucas.
Cool. He's basically like the Geoff Johns of Star Wars now.
He's super cool.
That's awesome.
Anyway,
if you haven't gotten behind it yet, everyone.
It's good. I love that story. Like, it's just a simple story.
Yeah.
It's not like, I know there's probably going to be some politics involved, as usually in the Star Wars universe, but it's just like a very simple, like, he's got to do this. He has to, like, you know.
I will not let my people suffer.
Yeah. Well, and also, I'm really excited.
No, that was, guys,
I have no idea.
If you're going to start talking Star Wars with me.
I'm not a Star Wars guy, which is why I really like The Mandalorian.
When you said it went political, that's because episode 1, 2, and 3 was all about the Trade
politics.
Federation,
right.
And I was doing Queen Amidala.
I will not let my people suffer. That's not bad.
Sounds just like her.
It's not bad. It's a good little Natalie Portman you got going on over there.
Fun fact, her handmaiden's Rose Byrne.
No, it's not. It's
Keira Knightley. Rose Byrne's in it. It's mainly Rose Byrne.
Really? I thought Keira Knightley's the one who played her double.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't realize Rose Byrne.
But Rose Byrne is her handmaiden.
Yeah.
Wow.
So many stairs. Mm-hmm. So many stairs.
I also was very excited because I have an unlimited plan on Verizon, which means I get Disney Plus free for a year. So when I signed up, I was like, whoop, don't even have to pay for this right now.
Have you gone into the other Disney titles? Because
I've literally only watched Mandalorian.
My God.
What else?
My neighbor / best friend is going through all the classic Disney movies that I'd never heard of and did not grow up on.
Oh,
like Xandor.
Oh no, I don't know that one.
What's there's a young girl from the planet whatever, and there was another one with like a rollerblading crew.
Oh,
there's another one called Smart House. Xenon,
Girl of the 21st Century. I've
all
never
of these
heard of
movies. Okay, great. I have never heard of any of them either. And he's losing his mind being able to go back to his childhood and watch these movies. And he's like messaging me going, they hold up. I watched 5 minutes of the first one and I felt like, I shouldn't joke about that, but I didn't feel happy inside.
Did you see Flight of the Navigator, the other classic
80s? I've never finished that movie.
I know.
I've watched the first half of it or so, and I've just never finished it. Uh-huh. So I literally, does he navigate the flight? I don't know.
Yes.
I remember as a kid, for me, it was like the Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers!
But also the American Tale, Five Full Goes
The best.
That's when I learned about Judaism.
Really?
From a little mouse.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of a delightful way to learn.
It's the land of opportunity. And I was like, okay.
I love hearing the Australian takes on the American culture.
I learn about partying.
Seeped into your life as a kid.
Beer kegs from American movies.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually shocking to me. I feel like Australia would have a solid beer keg culture. No.
Yeah, you think Australia would be all no?
We don't have kegs.
I guess I'd always just kind kegs? Of I kind yeah. of picture Australia being like the frat house of the world.
I guess yeah.
we do.
That's pretty much exactly.
We played like those drinking games like Four Kings and stuff like that.
Don't oh Four yeah. Kings.
No, I remember Four Kings.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you might end up drinking like a terrible amount of mixed alcohol.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember like water falling and remember that?
Yes.
What's that one?
Okay, so we each have a drink and Allison starts drinking.
Yeah.
And, oh, wait a minute. How does it go? Remind
yeah,
me.
It's like, so whoever starts, like say I start, we all start drinking at the same time. Tom can't stop drinking until I stop drinking, and you can't stop drinking until Tom stops.
So,
yeah.
What if I finish my drink before then?
You start with like a full thing.
Yeah,
so that's
I bet
that's
Maude
I could be
a
dick and drink for a long time, or I can do a quick sip yeah. because you normally do it with a lot more people. So if I do a quick sip, it's quick, quick, quick. So the person at the end is still there for a yeah. significant amount of
my
time.
My problem is that I can drink for a long time.
You
very
can.
Quickly.
I've seen a lot of your Instagram videos.
This is why I like you, Maude.
So like yeah. my one sip is equivalent to half a drink, but it takes yeah. the time to have one sip. I can't yeah. sip. I can only gulp.
Yeah.
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 That's why I need a little sippy cup.
a little sippy cup.
Can you chug water? I'm one of those guys that can really drink a lot of water, and most people are just like, how can you chug water?
Yeah. No, I can chug water.
You can chug water. Yeah. yeah. Good, yeah.
You know when you're like actually thirsty and it feels so amazing?
So good.
Yeah. yeah. But
like you cannot get enough yeah, in your
exactly.
body.
This is the best thing ever.
I know.
Yeah, I feel I so replenished. Yeah.
I was just having this conversation yesterday with some people, because it's winter now, and so it's really dry, and like your skin feels so dry.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And you, when it's like that, you should be putting more and more water into your body, yeah. but the temperature doesn't make you want to do that. I'm like, no, what I want to be chugging is hot chocolate.
Yeah, and that
which is not
help.
Going to help hydrate my skin.
I don't crave hot drinks.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
No, or fizzy drinks.
Or fizzy drinks.
I don't even crave cold
really?
Drinks. Like my beer, if I bring home like a 12-pack, I just leave it out. And I always drink it warm.
No. You drink warm beer?
No,
all the time, unless
that's
I'm at a bar.
I'm sorry, Tom, we've been doing this podcast together for 5 years, and yeah. you drink warm beer?
I drink warm bourbon and vodka. Why not beer? I don't really...
What? My beer has my to what? Be on the brink of freezing.
I'm not. Really? I'm not okay with any of this.
I can
stuff.
Only like in Australia because it's yeah. hot all the time. You have to have an ice cold beer,
okay,
and if
okay.
it is not ice yeah. cold, it is not worth drinking.
If it's the okay, I can get maybe in the summertime. Yes,
I believe
I will
a warm
sure
beer is literally called piss. To an
yes.
Australian.
Well, maybe yeah. I'm a piss drinker then. A K-Mod.
That's the point I was making, and I'm glad you said it. It was not as satisfactorily satisfying hearing it.
Here, wait, podcast pulled something up. Can you drink room temperature beer? If it's strong in alcohol, spicy, or sour, they should typically be served on the warmer end of the beer serving spectrum. Although there is no problem drinking beer at room temperature, you will run into problems serving it from a keg. Oh, yeah, warm beer pours incredibly foamy.
Got yeah. it. So what I realized when going to London, when it was yes. quite cold outside.
Yeah.
Or was it? I can't recall.
But it's always
London.
Cold in London.
Cold in yeah. London. They get like 4 days in the middle of August, and that's
kind
about
of
it. Yeah.
yeah. And I was pretty. I was there for work. Actually, it was kind of in the middle of the year, and I was keen to with my crew, do a little bit of a pub crawl.
Love it.
With my crew.
And
well, and you know what's nice in London too is the beers come in smaller sizes. So like
they
you
have two sizes. Yeah.
How's
yeah.
that
a
nice?
A pint and a
because you can have a
schooner.
You can have a smaller one and then you can hit more pubs before
oh,
you're like tanked.
Yeah,
okay.
you don't know. Yeah, that's how I didn't really notice that. Yeah. It's the same in Australia.
Yeah.
You have two sizes. Do you want a schooner or a pint?
Yeah.
Yeah, the pint's obviously
in the US,
bigger.
They're like, just get drunk.
Yeah. Oh my God. They yeah. free pour booze. Oh, I got so drunk the first few months I was living here.
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. But in London, I was like, ooh, let's do this. I'll grab that beer. It's going to be really nice. Took a sip, went, this is warm. What the hell is wrong with everyone?
Okay.
And I was like, could I have a cold beer? And they're like, that is how we
I should Ew. Check that country out.
It was
you've
just
never
room
no,
temperature.
You've never been to London, Tom? Aww.
You guys never invite me.
Sorry.
No, I've never been.
Sorry.
I've been to like Denmark and other places. But
yeah, no. Well, London's amazing.
The first time I drank when I moved here, mm-hmm. I had two vodka cranberry juices.
Yeah.
I watched her pour it.
Yeah.
The ice went in first and yeah. immediately I'm like, that is terrible because that has a lot of volume, which means I'm getting less liquid.
You would think.
Yeah. And then she pours in the vodka. She does not use any measured.
Nope.
Yeah. It was an estimate, right?
Yeah.
And that vodka.
It's a count. Bartenders count seconds.
Nearly filled it to the brim.
Yep.
And then went, cranberry.
You're getting your money's worth of that.
Oh God. Because I realized they base off tips. Yeah. Not out of their pocket if they use all that alcohol. But that's if you show them that they're getting their money's worth, they'll get a much bigger tip. I had two drinks. I woke up at 3 p.m. the next day.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. When you go to bars that actually do you, they're called jiggers. That's what you measure the alcohol with. Mm-hmm. When you go to bars that actually use that, people get annoyed. They're like, you're actually like jipping me out of booze. It's like, no, this is technically what the proper pour is.
Yeah. Two things. One, in Australia, it is mandatory. If you do not use measurement, you will get fined.
Oh, right.
Wow. Two, gipped is no longer a word we can use.
Oh, you got gipped.
Oh, we talked about this. I forgot.
Yeah.
Because it refers to gypsies, and that's a derogatory term.
Yeah. Because right. when you're saying,
I apologize. I completely forgot that that's where that word came from.
All our gypsy listeners out there.
I have learned so many things. In Australia, I'm pretty sure it's still widely used, a lot of words are widely used where you're like, nah, that one expired a while ago, actually.
Yeah.
And wait, so like in Australia.
But cigarettes are called fags.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I think on England.
Well, first, thank you for calling me out on that.
No, because it's like, I didn't even know what gypped meant. I thought it was J-I-P-P-E-D.
Oh.
Is it G-Y-P?
Yeah, it is. I guess I knew the spelling. I just never knew the origin of it. That's really interesting. Like
I've never met a gypsy person. I didn't really, I thought that was like, you know, with the traveling merchants back in the my fantasy books.
Or the the tinkers, as they're known, in the Wheel of Time.
Yes. I thought they were the only gypsies out there.
Can I tell you, I'm in the midst of book 5. I'm about 400 pages into book 5. I'm going to tell you the best news. Perrin has not shown up yet. Oh, I'm like, thank God.
I like Perrin.
No, you like him in book 1. We talked about this, remember? You're
going
to get into other books and you're going to be like, screw Perrin, I'm now Team Matt.
Okay, and I can't wait to be Team Matt.
Yeah, thank God Perrin is not.
Because book 1, Matt was just shut up.
I know, shut the fuck up.
Ugh.
Yeah, Matt goes on a real interesting journey.
That's it. Okay, well, I've got so many books to read. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, I was going to say, I'm reading book 5 of the Wheel of Time.
You only read one book at a time?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do.
I'm like 5 at a time.
Oh, really? I can't. I need to like complete a storyline in my brain. But you know what's on the back burner for me is a book called A Little Life, which I've heard great, wonderful things, and also that you need a lot of tissues to read it. So that's what I'm planning on reading over Christmas break.
Of,
yeah.
Oh, crying. You mean crying?
A lot of crying. Oh, God. Tom.
What?
I didn't get
Mog
that.
Mog liked it.
What are you gonna?
You got it.
You're gonna have like, can words make you spoof? Words.
I don't know.
Come on.
Sexy words. Isn't that technically what?
Actually, I read a True Blood book and I needed a cold shower after
there
one
you go.
Of the moments.
See, I was gonna say, what's the 50 Shades of Grey book? Wasn't that?
I bought that because I realized I forgot a book on the plane and everyone was reading it. I think I got to page 17 before I threw it in the bin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the 50 Shades of Grey book.
I'll ridiculous. Let you know what I'm reading after the break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So what are you reading?
A bunch of books at the moment. So I do book club every single month for Geek Bomb.
Yes.
And we have like this chat where we weigh in all month. We talk about the characters that we relate to, how the women are written in the books.
Mm-hmm.
That's so differing every single time if it's a male or female author.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy heck. This month it is a Star Wars book, actually.
Ooh,
because
neat.
December is Star Wars month with The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And with The Last Jedi coming out.
Oh my God.
And I was going to say I'm going to the premiere, but we get feedback that we talk about the premieres that we go to a lot of the time. Not talk about that. My photo shoot for this month is in this wicked Star Wars dress.
Wicked.
But this book, it's by Claudia Gray. It's called Lost Stars, and it's literally like Romeo and Juliet, but with the rebels and the Empire.
Ooh.
Oh, that's neat.
So two kids grow up on this like outer rim planet that's pretty awful and small, and it's just like a mining colony, but they both make it into the Empire, and they want to be fighter pilots.
Yeah.
And it's all about kind of going through the academy together. And then it takes place around the time of the Death Star blowing up Alderaan and then being blown up.
So the movie New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Princess Leia makes an appearance in this.
Ooh.
But it's cool. Such an amazing book. And I think, A, because it's written by a woman and she's talking about adolescent love,
yeah.
Young adult love, and, you know, like, love, not lust. And that
yes.
is so right. wonderful to read, and it's really romanticized and it's great. But it's also really incredible to hear about the moral dilemmas. And that we all know A New Hope. We
right.
know that the rebels are the good guys.
Yes.
That the Death Star is literally called the Death Star.
Yeah.
And that when it blows up a planet, that is absolutely unforgivable. And
right.
then when you blow up the Death Star, it's the best thing ever.
Right.
Flip the perspective.
Right.
And it's interesting to hear the Empire's tactics to getting loyal soldiers.
Yeah.
And so that's explored in this book as well. I'm so stoked to read it. So, yeah.
I think it's The Walking Dead this season that brought up, I think Negan's the one who said something along the lines of, you think they're the bad guys because they're not you.
Right.
But as soon as you let, like, if you are to live in someone else's community and then the things that the community that we as the viewers have been watching for seven seasons, if you put yourself in the other community's shoes, it's like, oh, yeah, the people we thought were the quote-unquote good guys aren't good guys to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's they're the good guys, yeah.
Everyone's their own version of good and or bad. Like,
yeah.
no one sees himself as a bad guy, which
yeah.
is why it's such a, like, a morally gray area. But
yeah.
I was thinking about that on my walk this morning, even,
Ooh.
With, like, the
Ooh.
D&D, the alignment split.
Oh, like chaotic, neutral, and all that
so
kind of stuff, yeah.
chaotic good
yeah.
is evil. It's just your version of good. So I always equate to how I describe the chaotic good alignment is like you're the sheriff of Nottingham.
Can you just explain the square real quick for
you
people?
You betcha.
Who,
yeah. There's a grid of nine. Yeah. The top row is good. The middle row is neutral. The bottom row is bad, evil. If you split it, the grid at the left-hand side, they are lawful. So they're the ones that follow the law. So you've got lawful good, lawful neutral, lawful evil. Then true neutral for it. And then the right-hand side is chaotic. So you are either chaotic good, chaotic neutral, or chaotic evil. Chaotic evil is the devil. Someone
yes.
that likes to, you know, they like to see people in pain. They
yeah.
like to give pain. Chaotic good for me, my equivalent to that is the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Mm.
They are fighting within the laws. They are fighting for the laws.
Yeah.
But they will make a point to, you know, shows that the laws need to be enacted. Blowing up Alderaan is chaotic good.
Chaotic.
Wait,
good.
Following the laws, though, would fall under lawful, not chaotic.
No, chaotic, because they're still good. Oh, I see. They're,
yeah.
they're lawful evil. I've got it all wrong.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
so sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, hold
evil.
On.
Lawful evil.
Yes, lawful evil.
Yes.
Is.
But what that looks like.
Is, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Chaotic good is Robin Hood.
Yes. That's
so he's fighting.
I was like, I'm on board, but something's not checking.
Sorry, you're
yes,
exactly right.
Is Robin Hood. Yes.
I always apply Robin Hood to the grid.
Right.
And yeah, Robin Hood steals from the rich. That's bad.
Right.
That's chaotic, but
right.
gives to the poor. Oh, that's good. Yeah, and the Sheriff of Nottingham, he's evil.
Is lawful evil.
But he's,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so the Empire blowing up Alderaan
Tarkin
is lawful
evil.
Yes.
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 But
yeah.
they're following the laws.
Yeah.
And then the rebels are chaotic good. Because they're killing people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And they're not following rules. They're
yeah.
rebelling. They're literally rebelling against the law, so.
I feel like I apply that the alignment grid to so many things in my life.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And someone, I was on a dating app,
uh-huh.
and he plays D&D as well. And I'm like, yay.
Nice.
And he was like, what are you? And I said, I think I'm lawful neutral in the streets, but I'm chaotic neutral in the character sheets.
Oh,
oh
that's
my
amazing.
Gosh.
That's hilarious.
And I don't know why. He sheets. Said, that was great. Well done. And then we never spoke again.
It's too intimidating for me.
He's looking. He's like, I'm looking for a chaotic evil in the sheets. Thanks.
No, my character sheets. So the characters
no, I know.
That I play. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah I got
I'm not telling
that.
You what
no.
I am in the sheet.
But I'm really good, by the way. So
but my characters, I like playing chaotic neutral, whereas
yeah.
I don't really have to answer to anyone, but I don't want to be confined. And I feel like Jedi are lawful good, where they have to fit within it.
Right.
Oh, here we go. There
oh.
is actually a grid pulled
oh,
out.
Oh, there you go. For Star Wars specifically.
I can't read what
yeah.
you said.
Okay, so lawful good is Yoda.
Okay. No, you disagree?
No?
Well, I feel like that's the for me, it's not necessarily an individual person, but it's the rule of the Jedi. The way of the Jedi is lawful
sense.
Good.
Yeah. But they have Luke as the neutral good.
Yeah, because he chooses his
correct
path.
And then they have Liam Neeson. What is
Qui-Gon
he called? Qui-Gon. I'm like, what is his name?
As chaotic good. I don't agree with that.
I do because he breaks the rules.
True.
Oops. Yeah.
And it got him killed.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then C-3PO is lawful neutral.
Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah. True worse. Neutral is, what's his face, who does the pod racing?
Watto?
Yes.
I don't know if he's true neutral, because he's a gambler and he owns slaves.
Yeah, that's not a very neutral thing.
I think he's neutral
that's
evil.
That's weird to me.
I think he's neutral evil. I actually would have put R2-D2 as true neutral.
Yeah.
He's actually.
Oh, he might be chaotic.
He's actually more neutral good, R2.
Yeah.
Or even chaotic good in a way, because he keeps the plans to himself.
Correct.
And he's a little bit chaotic, but for the greater good.
All right, Han, they have his chaotic neutral. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep, perfect.
You never know what side. Well,
yep.
You didn't know what side he was going to be on until that Solo movie.
And chaotic because, he's a mercenary. He's going after the money.
Okay, we just said this. Darth Vader is lawful evil. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Jabba is neutral evil. Yeah, he's just bad to whoever.
Yeah, but he's like the crime lord.
Yeah. And then chaotic evil, what is
that's
that?
That's IG-11.
It is? That's, no.
Oh,
88. That's
sorry,
the guy
IG-88, who is an IG unit, which is a bounty hunter.
IG-88,
sorry.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't even, what movie is that from?
Return of the Jedi.
That's when they're all just like gathered.
Or is that Empire Strikes Back as well?
Really?
When we first, there
IG?
Is, yeah, Empire
it's
Strikes
Empire?
Back. So Jabba is...
Oh, it's the one that's torturing.
No.
What bot is
he's gathered with the other... Which bot is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I forget the name.
The torture bot? The one that looks like a clown?
What? Man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm the worst.
That scene.
He's one of the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
Right. Got it. Check.
He's a badass.
Check.
I could talk about Star Wars and nerd shit all day, guys.
I know.
Thank you.
So you guys aren't really Star Trek people then, just more
Star
Wars?
Oh, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I grew up watching all
Next
the
generation?
Star Treks with my parents. My household owned those, all the bloopers in season 4 of Star Trek Next Gen. And
really?
I loved going through and being like, God, in this scene you can see a boom mic. Or in this scene, Picard's shirt is buttoned this way, but then in the other shot it's buttoned this way. I know, I'm such a nerd.
No, it's great.
I found continuity. I watched The Fifth Element again, and I noticed all these continuity errors.
Like what?
Yeah. Well, for starters,
I know.
I have intel. The first chunks of the movie is actually filmed in chronological order.
Yeah.
They had to bleach Mila Jovovich's hair so hardcore, and then she's got the blonde bleach roots and then orange.
Yeah.
It messed up her hair so bad.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh my
that
God.
They, from about 2/3 of the way through the movie, she's in a wig.
Oh.
They had to use a wig. And you can tell because you can just see the actual hair.
It's just fried.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. And then it actually looks like consistently good throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And there's another time when she'd been crawling through the vents and she has her hands up. And then the next time you see her hands, it's up against the cab, which she just fell into. Hands are clean.
Interesting. You know,
what did I just watch the other day and I was like, you just murdered a person. Where's all the blood?
Oh,
like
you're getting tips.
Yeah,
I noticed that you successfully got away with murder.
Yeah,
how?
Where's all the blood going?
Tell me.
Like literally, the next scene, you shot someone, blood sprayed all over you, and then the next scene, no
what
blood.
Were you watching?
I forget. That's what I can't think of. I just remember having that thought.
And being,
wait. Did you guys watch The Irishman over the break?
I want to see. It's like
I interviewed Robert De Niro for it, but no one cares, Maud.
No, I care. How was it? Was he delightful?
Bobby Denis.
Yes.
He was good. It's a long movie.
It really is. And I don't think people are like complimenting it so much on the de-aging process. I don't think it worked.
My thing
is literally the whole first half of the movie, I was like, you look like video game characters.
Right. My thing is, Martin Scorsese, if you're going to rip shreds on Marvel, but then you're going to wait
so long
to have de-aging process and technology, guess why that de-aging technology exists? Because of the last 5 Marvel
movies. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's totally the same team.
You know, we have a lot of actor friends in town. A lot of them could have played them as
the
younger
young versions
characters.
Of them. They were supposed to be 30 years old in the beginning of that movie. They didn't look anything.
Really?
I was like, you go from being like 50-ish to like 80. Like, that's the age range in this. No one, at no point are any of them 30 years old.
He has a baby, and I'm like, your swimmers are still swimming?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, mate.
I know,
Who could have played a young Pacino or De Niro? Who's out there? You guys know a lot of people.
I mean, if you put me on the spot, I'm going to have no idea.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I mean, honestly, they had a lot of guys in the movie who could have played the young versions of them. Like Sebastian Maciejewski, that comedian.
Oh, it's Man. Yeah, that's, I forget his, yeah.
Yeah. And he has like two solid scenes in this movie, but he could have been a younger version of one of them.
Yeah, because he's got that very Italian
look. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out, though. You saw the whole thing or no?
Yeah, no, I did. It took two nights, but my family made it through the whole thing.
Should it have been just like a TV show and like cut up into
or like a is it mini worth being a
movie?
Series?
Yeah, is it worth being a movie? Like,
no, because Martin Scorsese, again, has real stipulations in terms of how a movie should be made.
Oh, that's right.
And he put he applied it all.
Yeah.
So no super.
Do not watch it on an iPhone.
It's got some fantastic acting in it. Of course.
Al Pacino shines. I think Al Pacino.
Oh, I was thinking Joe Pesci. To me, Joe Pesci in that kind of role, I'm like, hells yeah.
He's always going to be the Wet Bandits to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just think My Cousin Vinny.
My Cousin Vinny's so good in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. Should we get to, I can do a quick email or a quick story? Let's do a quick story since we're near the end.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah? So since Maude brought this up, I just had to look up this just now because it was just in the news this month. Speaking of Mila, or is it Mia?
Mila Jovovich,
who is awesome in the Resident Evil movies.
Yes.
So hair dyes and straighteners linked to higher cancer risk.
I just saw an ad. Yeah. I didn't want to read it because I dyed my hair.
Aristotle just goes, no.
Oh, yeah, because he just dyed his hair green.
Well, it does say especially for black women, which Aristotle is not.
Are you sure?
Don't assume his gender and race, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, new research raises concerns about the safety of permanent hair dye and chemical hair straighteners.
Eek. Yeah. How long have I been dyeing my hair?
I don't, yeah.
But there is a difference between hair dye and hair bleach, I think that's probably why.
So my friends who are redheads who go in every 6 weeks to get their roots
That might be worse.
Cool. You know, this come out because Keanu Reeves' girlfriend is naturally gray, and she's like, yeah, I did a little bit of research into it.
Yeah, that's right. That was her.
Yeah.
Wait.
She's like, she brought this up to attention. She's 45, and she started going gray in her early 20s. She's like, I'm going to rock it because I've heard that prolonged use of hair dye is actually linked to cancer, and the chemicals are really, really bad for you. So I'm going to rock gray, and I'm happy with it. And I'm like,
that's
what, Maude, from 15 years' time? I think you're great. I think in 15 years, I might look a little bit like her.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
You know what I think's the best?
What?
Keanu Reeves could have been with a 23-year-old.
I was saying this to someone. I was like, it makes him that much more lovable.
I love him.
It makes him that
he
much more lovable.
He can do no wrong, that guy.
Yeah.
Until he probably does wrong.
Like, to be a megastar in Hollywood and to be like truly shining in his heyday right now, too, to be dating a woman who's age appropriate is like, thank fucking God.
I mean, they're still 12 years apart. 10,
well, yeah,
12.
But I feel like when you get up into,
what's he, 55?
I feel awful, up into that age, it's like you can. It's no longer May December. It's more like September December.
Credit where credit due.
Yeah,
she's 5 years older than you.
Right.
No, she's not.
She's 42.
You just said she's 45.
43. He's 56. She's about 43. 44
tops. He's 55. Yeah.
Then she'd be 43.
Also, Maude, don't go shouting my age everywhere.
Sorry. The compliment was, you're in such a different league. Like, you're not even like close to that.
I guess.
To looking...
Yeah, to be, I will say, like, I mean, we all know I color my hair a lot, but I, knock on wood, don't have grays. Not yet.
I haven't.
You never got
either.
Any grays? Good
not
for
yet.
You.
No.
You?
No.
No.
Mind you, my dad successfully went silver, and no one noticed because his hair was so blonde.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And then all of a sudden, I was like, wait, when did that happen?
What's happening here?
Don't know.
Oh, interesting.
But my mom didn't get grays for ages either. So.
Wait, Tom, I'm sorry. We never actually let you like read the story. What is there any?
I just looked it up.
Is there
real
any
quick,
actual
just...
like facts and things that we should know about?
Yeah, probably.
Well, it's that thing.
It's all the boring stuff, but
it's
been all over.
We kind of want to learn something.
My mom always said, "Don't get spray tans because she goes, you're literally applying chemicals onto your skin so that your skin. It stains it and your skin drinks it in.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't understand fake tan.
No.
Why would you literally apply this onto your body?
I mean, because we're trying to avoid getting real tan, which will give us wrinkles and skin cancer.
So it's a don't be tan.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's a fact then real quick. So after doing it for, many years, they found that permanent hair dye use was associated with about a 7% higher risk of developing breast cancer among white women, whereas in black women, that risk was about 45%.
Whoa!
So from 7% to 45% using hair dyes for that long. So
wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, sad. That's awful.
Yeah.
I understand the wig thing.
Yeah.
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 My goodness.
Yeah.
Yep. Well.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe let yourself go beautifully gray like my mom and my sister.
There you go.
Yeah. They
They're
look
both
great.
Gray?
Oh, yeah. I think my... My sisters probably started all going gray in their early 20s, too.
Yeah. That's a thing.
My mom used to dye her hair all the time, yeah. And then now she goes totally gray. It looks awesome.
You have some great gray in your hair.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah.
Guys get away with so much.
They really do.
It's in my beard here, too. The longer my hair gets, the more gray it looks. But I love it. I actually got my hair cut today, as you guys noticed and complimented.
I know, yeah.
And so every time
you look dashing.
Thank you. Every time I go in there, it's just like a typical, strip mall place, but they always try to get me to, dye my hair. I'm like, no, I like it. It's nice older women.
No,
they're
you
suggesting.
Rock it.
It's not
I also
guy
think
trying to
dyeing your hair to cover gray always looks different than dyeing your hair to just like have a new color hair.
Because it's more of like a block color. Yes. There's not a good consistency. A lot of time we get highlights and lowlights.
Yes.
How often do you get your hair cut and how much does it cost?
Like 2 months, every 2 months. It costs me like 25.
I know, insane.
Bucks.
Insane.
Well, we go every three? 3 months?
Every 3 months?
I actually was only going every six because I was paying like $300 to get my hair cut.
Yep.
And then I just realized, Allison, stop going to the person who's cutting your hair for $300 and
just cut, no
cheaper.
Color.
Just cut.
$300.
Yeah. After tip. Yeah.
There was some famous actress who was getting her hair cut at a strip mall place. What's her name? Maybe it was Ryan Reynolds. Not Ryan Reynolds' wife, but like... I got to look it up, but there was a really famous actress. She's like, I just stopped in here to get my hair cut for super cheap at
it's so
I have to look
smart.
Up because the story doesn't make any sense. I
found a new hairdresser who is significantly cheaper. Yeah. And now I'm like, now I can do the every three or 4 months.
No, I get my hair cut, twice a year because, it was awful. I just got it cut a few days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it was ratty at the end. It was growing nice and long.
Somebody split ends.
But it's like $95 minimum, or $300.
Yeah.
And that's before tip for the 95.
Oh, yeah, I
just to get a hair cut. And they're just taking an inch off all over.
That's kind of it.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, hey.
But I got it colored as well, and I got a few foils. But yeah, we're looking at $250.
It looks like it's worth $350.
Oh,
very sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
All right. So, in conclusion, let's all just age gracefully, shall we?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. All right, I think we've wrapped it up for this episode. If you would like to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. We didn't read any on today's show, but we normally do.
Yeah.
If you'd like to get a review in there, make sure you drop over at iTunes, leave a review. You can make it 5 stars and say whatever you like because I might read it out.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr. Please subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on. Share us with your friends as well. And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night.
See, I got in there too.
Yeah,
you can't stop me.
I'm Allison Hayslips.
I'm Maud Garrett, and I'm impressed.
And that lady over there was Tom Helping Hands Krajewski.
Oh, thank you, ladies.
You're so welcome, Tom. Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.